The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
The last thing you need on a Monday morning is to hear me singing, so I'll say these two lines. Breaking up is never easy, I know, but I have to go. Knowing me, knowing you, ah. Sorry, it's the best I can do. I'm not doing Alan Partridge, by the way. I'm doing ABBA. Well, I'm supposed to be anyway, because they are the lyrics of a well-known pop song, and who could disagree, basically? The best I can do, knowing me, knowing you. Most of us have been the victim of a difficult breakup or are perhaps planning one for the near future, maybe. Whatever the case, Rena Maycock of Intro Matchmaking, she's here now with her guide to the five phases of breaking up and his tips on how best to navigate those tricky waters. First thing, Rena, by the way, welcome to the programme. When you're talking to new members at your dating agency and they don't necessarily tell you the situation that they happen to be in, can you see a mile away that they've been through the mill, romantically speaking, or the ones who have been?
Yes, we can. I mean, we, as a part of the profile, when we meet everyone face to face, we ask them about their relationship history, you know, to mention the big ones, the long relationships and the ones that made a mark on their lives. And even if they don't want to tell us the ins and outs because it's possibly too painful, we can tell instantly if they have had a heartbreak and they're part of the same club as you, as it were. You know, you can tell by the shift in their countenance. You know, there might be a quiver in their voice or they'll look away. You can tell very quickly if they've had a heartbreak in their lives or not.
Okay, the same club as you, so you've had a heartbreak, have you?
Oh, tell me, of course.
All about it. Okay, no, seriously. Broken hearts, by the way, those who haven't, do you think they've missed out? Like, it's a rite of passage, isn't it?
I believe so.
It's a great life lesson.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of heartbreaks in my life and, you know, although at the time they were very painful, you know, you take away some very, very valuable lessons about the type of person that you do want to be with in the future. And I think it is actually a rite of passage. I mean, certainly it's prepared me to be able to communicate on a human level with people that have had a heartbreak and empathise with them, because it's a type of grief, really. You know, people think that, you know, losing a person as in they die is the only type of grief, but really a breakup is a type of grief as well.
All right, by the way, I'm going to sing again. Anyone who had a heartbreak can text us in right now, 51551, to quote Cilla. Now, you do, I presume, even to take it one step further, do you feel actually sorry for those who've never experienced the pain of a breakup because they've missed one major thing about how to live your life?
Absolutely. I mean, although breakups are absolutely agonising, I really do think that unless you go through a proper breakup and you've had your heart broken, you don't have the ability to really, really be able to appreciate a proper relationship when it comes along and to see it for all the glory that it is and the right person that's there for you. So absolutely, I certainly do feel sorry for people that haven't had a heartbreak in their lives.
And I presume the nature of how to handle a breakup has to do with how you experience the relationship itself.
Correct. I mean, there's certainly a few different ways to have a breakup. I mean, and I certainly learned the hard way. You know, possibly the first time I had a heartbreak, I did it very wrong. And I learned through the difficult process of that heartbreak how to cope with it and how to get on with things. And it seems very, you seem very helpless at the time. It's a very desperate situation for you to be in. You feel like your life is over. But ultimately, having gone out the other side, it doesn't take that long if you do the right things.
If you do the right things. Okay, well, we'll get five of those, hopefully, anyway, the five tips. But just why is decoupling so excruciating for many? I'm going to call it decoupling because that's a current word.
Well, I mean, obviously, you're going through the grief of losing somebody. You know, it's the emotional fallout of that is quite difficult. Your friends are all around you and your family saying, you know, oh, they'll come to their senses, don't you worry, he or she will come crawling back, it's going to be absolutely fine. And then ultimately they don't. And it's very difficult, particularly in a digital age, to accept a breakup because, you know, although before Facebook existed, before Twitter existed, Instagram, all those things, you know, you could decouple from somebody and you didn't have to see them unless you willfully threw yourself in their way.
Yeah.
But unless you go through a very agonising process of getting rid of all traces of them in social media, their life is going to be rubbed in your face. So it is pretty difficult. I mean, and then once you face the kind of reality that the person isn't coming back and you see that they're posting pictures online of them having a riotous time at, you know, every party two or three nights a week and they're having a great time without you, it's very difficult then when you come to that realisation and you have to accept the fact that they're not coming back. And then ultimately you've got to go through the division of assets, you know, and it's very difficult, particularly if you're living with somebody, you've got to go find yourself somewhere else to live, or they do. You know, you separate all of the, you take all of your belongings out of their way, and all of that difficulty begins. And particularly if you've got kids, it's very, very, very tricky, because then you've got legal letters going back and forth. You've got to talk about custody and rights to see the child. So it's very, very difficult at that stage. And then ultimately, once the dust settles, it's very, very difficult, because you have to sit there on the edge of the bed that you're going to sleep in on your own tonight. And you realize, wow, they're not coming back. I've got to look into the abyss of life and wonder what I'm going to do with myself.
Wow. Okay. So right across the spectrum, all ages, etc. And I was just thinking of Young Love there for a minute or two, because do you remember Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, and she broke up by texting that, which was very uncool. I presume texting a breakup is just a coward's way out. Like, it's important to actually, I suppose, if you like, give the person with whom you're ending the relationship the chance to ask questions, feel the sentiments underneath the words and all that kind of thing. Does that have to be face to face?
I think it does need to be face to face, particularly if it's an actual proper relationship, something that lasted more than a couple of months. You do owe each other, you know, at the very least that. I mean, you know, I was asked earlier if we come across at intro people breaking up by text, and really the majority of our users would be over 25, and that's a particularly juvenile thing to do, so we don't come across that quite often. We have come across some very, very awful breakup stories, absolutely, but texting not so much.
Right, but dumping by text, I presume, hopefully anyway, is the worst you've come across, is it?
No, actually, the worst I've come across was, it just sprung to mind earlier on, a client of ours, a lady, told us of a breakup. She had a couple of kids with a man, and he went out to mass on a Sunday morning, and she was upstairs. She came down, heard him come in. She came down, and he was standing in the living room with his girlfriend.
Right, okay.
And he introduced her and said, she's moving in.
That answers that question.
Yes.
Here's one here at 51551. I had been in a serious 6-year relationship. After we ended it, I found out that he'd been cheating right through the 6 years. He was the love of my life. Never again. Too old now. That's how she signs herself.
You're never too old. Our oldest member is 82. You're never too old.
Okay, your oldest member at intro. Okay, now, just let's go. Can we go through these one by one?
Of
it's
course.
Five, is it? It's not 500 now.
No, it's
not. It's not 50,
it's
just, Paul Simon
it's
had.
Just five.
No. Okay, by the way, when Paul Simon did his 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, there are, some are better than others, I presume. So let's just take it down to five. One by one. The first of the five stages of breaking up are emotional fallout, stroke denial. I have it written here. What is all that about?
You know, it's ultimately when, you know, the initial breakup happens and it's like, no, this is not happening to me. And you go to your friends and family for comfort, and they all tell you they'll change their mind. They'll come back. You know, it's a moment of lunacy. It's not real. You're meant to be together. So ultimately, that's denial.
Right.
Part of the grief
fooling
process.
Fooling yourself.
Yes.
By the way, just can I just go before you give us the numbers two on there? There's a text here. It says, what about those who married their first love and remained happily married? Are they also considered to have missed out on some valuable lesson? Good question. Jack from Cork.
Well, they're the exceptions rather than the rule, and they're very, very lucky, and I hope that lasts forever. And it does, it absolutely does happen. Some people are so lucky.
Yeah,
they're so lucky to have met somebody in their infancy or, you know, in their teen years, and they never have to go through that heartbreak. But ultimately, most people aren't.
And there's many others who go through that in their teen years or whatever, and then off they go somewhere else and come back 5 or 6 or 7 years later, realizing she was or he was the love of my life.
And then some of the worst examples are, you know, people will come to us and say, I married my childhood sweetheart and he or she left me after 35 years and went off for a younger model or whatever it was. And that's particularly jarring for the person that's left behind, because they've never had to enter the dating pool. It's not a question of getting back on the horse, it's a question of never having been on the horse in the first place. So they just don't know what to do, and they find themselves completely lost in middle age and having to start their lives all over again.
Right, here's one here. You see, look, ridiculous statement, and we're both saying it, so we're both at fault here. Ridiculous statement to say you feel sorry for people who haven't experienced heartbreak. It's a horrible thing to experience. Wouldn't wish it on anyone. Good point also.
I wouldn't wish it on anybody
either.
But you know, while you're going through it, it's an absolutely terrible thing. But to come out the other side of it, there are very, very valuable lessons.
So you're saying
what
doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Exactly.
All right, fair enough. What about breaking up as a result of cheating at 5-1-5-5-1 there?
Well, that person didn't deserve you in the first place.
Ooh, right, okay. Moving swiftly on, matron. Number two of the five then. What's the second stage is reality strikes stroke acceptance.
Yeah, I mean, when the door doesn't open again that evening or the next night or the next night or the next night, and you realise the other person has actually moved on, they broke up with you, they did mean it, it wasn't a moment of lunacy, and they're not coming back. What do you do then?
Oh my God. Dan, dan, dan. That's a dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
Okay, what's number three?
So dividing the assets and dividing your lives ultimately is, you know, the physical act of decoupling. You're moving all of your stuff out, you're separating everything. You're unknitting your lives together. Because ultimately with a long relationship, what happens is you do form this knitting process. You start to intermingle your friends, intermingle your families. You spend pretty much most of your time together, and you have to begin that process of de-knitting. And one of those things is actually, you know, who gets who in the divorce in terms of friends. Now, that type of thing already starts, you know, from the moment the breakup happens, because people will kind of choose their side and they'll say, you know, obviously I was your friend first and I'll be there for you and all that kind of thing. And ultimately then both of you have to start a new life altogether, because that life together involved spending time with family and friends together, and that all needs to part.
Yeah, right. Gosh, bit of a mess, eh? I'll tell you, funny, like I mean, not to quote Vin Diesel or The Rock or Schwarzenegger and that, but you know, in these kind of movies, like, basically, the only way through it is through it.
Correct. I mean, you have to face it head on, really, and deal with the grief. You know, there's no point in denying it. You just need to get it done as quickly as possible and in as sensible a way as possible, and then you'll get over it much quicker.
I am a widow and met a man I fell totally in love with, but he was one of life's charmers, a womanizer, born liar and so insincere. I eventually broke away but grieved for him for a very long time, though I despised him for using me and making a fool of me. The hurt and pain is a true illness.
Yeah, we hear of that type of thing a lot, but ultimately that lady is far better off without that man, and I'm sure that when she came out of the fog of rage and upset, she realised that herself, he just wasn't worth it.
All right. My long-term relationship broke up last year. We kind of tried again, but could not seem to sort it out. I miss him and don't know what to do.
Yeah, usually people will have breaks and they'll break up and people will think, oh, he's meant for me or she's meant for me. We will get back together. Usually when a breakup happens, it's for a very good reason and it's for good. I've rarely seen it where people have had a break or broken up and gotten back together and it has worked.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Relationships need more effort than luck, and that comes in from Anne from Dublin.
They do. They take really, really hard work, and that's ultimately why an awful lot of relationships will break down around the 6-month mark, because at that point you're deciding, is this going somewhere serious or is it not? And relationships are hard work. They're not all plain sailing, and at the 6-month mark, fights will start to happen, cracks will start to appear, and at that point the hard work is necessary. And some people will say it's worth it, others will say it's not. And then they break up.
Okay, like you're talking like everything from rage and grief and loss and powerlessness and shame and anxiety and panic and, you know, depression and all the rest. So let's get down to another one. You went to the third phase, which was the division of assets. The rage bit, does that get away and does the dust settle for number four?
It does. And it's a very difficult, that's in my view, the hardest part, because at the beginning when you break up, you get an awful lot of attention from family and friends. They'll wrap you up in a comfort blanket. They will really mind you. They'll make you feel absolutely great about yourself. They'll make sure you're not alone. And you don't really notice all that much. But then when the dust does settle and you're sitting there left facing life on your own, and you realise your best friend is gone, your confidant is gone, your partner is gone, and that future that you look forward to together is gone, that's when it's really, really hard and sobering. And that's the most difficult part I find to deal with.
Okay, here's a question straight out. I'm 75 and facing being divorced after 50 years of marriage. It's lonely on my own. Is it too late to meet someone
else?
No,
it certainly is not. We've come across couples in their 70s that have separated and divorced. Absolutely. Relationships break down. It doesn't matter what age you are, but it's never too late.
Okay. Look, hi RTE, says that text there. Cheating is not a correct word to use. Often a man or woman will leave a loveless or sexist marriage. That's not cheating.
Well, no, that isn't cheating. If there's nobody else involved, it's not cheating. That's just falling out of love with somebody.
Yeah, but leave. What does that word leave mean? Leave for what?
Well, what I would be saying is, if you're leaving a marriage, leave it, but let the other person know that you're leaving it. Well, we get calls to intro with people saying, well, you know, I want to leave my wife or husband, but I want to line up number two first. And we say, absolutely, under no circumstances. You have to be available.
All right, well, then on the leaving thing, make a clean and honest break is what I'm sure you're
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, but on that note, is it okay to lie when ending a romantic relationship?
I would say no. I don't think it is acceptable to lie. You need to let the other person know why
but
the relationship is
ending. But you want to let them down easy, as another famous song would go. And letting them down easy is just, you know, do all the right things to make them feel good,
well,
even if you don't mean it. Oh,
usually, Dave, if you're letting the person down easy...
They're laughing out there. Okay, sorry, go on. Yeah.
Usually if you're letting the person down easy and you're lying about why, it's because you personally are afraid of the fallout. It's not out of any concern for the other person's well-being or
pity
feelings.
This is live on the radio. I'd like 10 minutes with that on my own. Okay, fair enough. Obviously, you have to do it in person, though.
Yes, correct. Right. By text is unacceptable.
Right, okay. There's another one here that says, my first love and I met when I was 15 and he was 16. We broke up but were reunited 47 years later. How about that?
Well, they were only children, really, when they met, weren't they? That's a marvellous story. I love that.
Right. My marriage broke up nastily 25 years ago and I remarried, but it still pains me despite many therapy sessions.
Yeah, and here's the thing about breaking up. You really do need to deal with it like it's a grief. You do need to talk to somebody about it, and whether that's friends or a counsellor or whatever it is, because regret is one of the most difficult things to carry through life and it can burn a hole in your soul. So it's really important when you're getting over somebody that you do it properly and deal with those feelings. Otherwise, you do carry it for 25, 30, 40 years.
Okay, what's the fifth and final phase? Some kind of grieving or getting on with it?
Well, it's the crawling back into your life. You know, it's battered and bruised. People are looking at you with a nod of sympathy, and you're trying to put on a brave face and pretend like nothing is going wrong. But you know that you do need to plan things, to make life worthwhile, to look forward to life. You need to change your life, get rid of that other person, get rid of all the memorabilia, take them off your social networks and move on and create new things to look forward to, embrace life and new experiences. And, that's the difficult part about getting back into your life. Try not to get back into the same one. Try to not make it the same life, yeah. Because you can't, because the ghost of that person is going to be everywhere in that old life. You need to create a new one.
Yeah, it's killer stuff, though. I mean, is it possible to be friends with an ex after the breakup? Is it correct to try to pursue friendship?
No, not if you've been heartbroken. Wow. It's not possible.
God, you're very cruel.
It's not. All of this kind of thing, I really want to be their friend. They were my friend. Ultimately, if that other person has broken up with you and broken your heart, the worst thing you can do is give them the satisfaction of having you as a friend. They don't deserve you as a friend. And unless you withdraw that friendship and that support and that that cushion for them, then they'll never miss you. And if you have ever any intention of making that person miss you and want you back, remaining their friend is not going to give them any incentive to want you back, because they never get the opportunity to miss you.
Wow, that sounds like a song as well. Okay, but the Facebook situation, that's not a good way to end a relationship, is it?
No, absolutely.
Okay,
not.
Can it be on the phone? Does it have to be face to face?
No, it needs to be face to face.
I'm not looking for a way out here.
It does need to be face to face. If it's ever a serious relationship, you need to do the person justice.
I know. I realise this. I couldn't agree with you more, but I'm just trying to be devil's advocate. How do you get? How do you get over a breakup? Here's one of 51551. How do you get over a breakup when you know it was your own fault for breaking up? You did something wrong.
Grovel and apologise.
Would that be Wham, Careless Whisper kind of song, is it? I think, anyway, so by the way, there's one there that says, look, the best breakup song is The Winner Takes It All by ABBA. No, it's not. It's Better Things by Massive Attack with Tracy Thorn on vocals. Check that one out. Boy, is she angry. And it's so good. You say the spark is gone. Well, get an electrician. Great lines. Anyway, sorry, where was I? Yes. What did I ask you there, Ian? I forgot.
I can't remember.
How do you get over a breakup when you know it was your own fault for breaking up?
It's even harder. It's much easier to get over a relationship where you've been the dumpy, because you don't have any regret. If you break up with somebody, you have regret because it was ultimately your fault and you have to live with that. And if there's a small chance you could get that person back and you really do love them and you made a genuine mistake, well, then pull out all the stops and try and get them back. Grovel, apologise, send flowers, do whatever you need to do. But if there's no opportunity to get them back, if they just can't forgive you, then unfortunately you're left with that regret forever.
Wow, what we're talking about, I'm taken back what I said earlier on, that's a great thing to go through life. It's not. This is awful. Okay, hold on a second. By the way, very female-centric views of breakup by the guest. You're the guest, by the way. Different for men, in my view, says Neil in Portmarnock.
I'd like to talk to Neil about his view then.
Well, have you talked to Neil types then in the job?
Oh, we certainly have. And I think ultimately breakups, male or female, seem to me to be equally as difficult to get over. I don't think men find it easier or more difficult.
Yeah, indeed. No one ever thinks about the broader family when there is a breakup. There is the loss of a person who has become a true member of the family. The dilemma whether to keep in touch with the lost partner. Grief all round. That comes in from somebody who obviously knows, a mother-in-law.
Yeah, and parents do get, and everyone that brings a partner into their family wants that family to embrace their partner and to treat them as one of their own, because that's ultimately how you go through life. You go out for dinners, you go for drinks, you like friendships to form outside of your immediate relationship with your partner. But ultimately, if that relationship breaks down, then it's very disappointing. And quite often, the parents and the brothers and sisters that got very attached to that partner can be left behind and get forgotten.
Okay, in the old Ireland, this next one would have been frowned upon. In the newer Ireland, is this one supported and is it a good thing? A man or a woman is entitled to seek love and affection outside marriage if there is none in their marriage. We only have one life to live.
I think you do only have one life to live. I don't think it's an entitlement. I think it's a betrayal. And I think that ultimately, if you want to move on and find love somewhere else because there's no love in your marriage, then end the marriage. End it first.
Okay. Have you or your guest heard the expression? I haven't actually. There's nothing so dead as a dead love.
I haven't, but I like it.
Right. And you might take that with you.
Yes.
Okay. We broke up 60 years ago. I've thought of her every day, but we both knew it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, we hear this a lot at intro as well, people coming in with regret. You know, they made a mistake in their 20s or 30s and they've carried it for decades.
Yeah.
And it's very, very sad. It's very sad indeed.
And what do you do? What do you say to those people? I mean, like, have those people come to intro matchmaking and you have to what? Open some door for them?
We absolutely do. I would suggest to those people that they go and seek a little bit of help, talk to a counsellor. You know, 5-6 sessions of a very, very candid conversation and a bit of advice can make that regret seem an awful lot less overbearing.
Yeah. Relationships are not 50-50. They are 100% from each side. If it's not 100%, get out of it.
I would agree with that. Everybody does need to give relationships their all.
Look, they've lined up. God, the Radio 1 is great. They've lined up Better Days by Massive Attack. I love it. Okay, wait a minute now. Just before we play a little bit of that then. Basically what you're saying is accept the grief, seek help. What was number 3? Spring clean your life, was it, or something?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Get new friends, new experiences, try new things. Very difficult. Get up off the side of the bed and do all that. And go forth and date. Is that basically number 5?
Correct. Yeah? Don't let yourself fester and don't, you know, sit under the grief and let it consume your life. There's nothing worse than a wasted life and regret. Go forth and date. Deal with your grief and then clean up your life and then move on.
Okay, well then you can amend your own broken heart, by the way, the 51551 people, or simply get into dating again by availing of Rena Maycock intro matchmaking services by logging on to intro.ie. And by the way, here's one, just a couple more. My hubby left me after 35 years. I'm bitter, and I'm sure you've come across that as well, trying to help you.
Yeah.
My ex had an accident at work. His personality changed overnight, and within a year we had separated after he had an affair. I was demonised by him so he could justify his action. It almost destroyed me. Finally on the mend after 14 years, but I still miss him despite everything. I left my girlfriend over Skype. I was abroad and she was at home. She was cheating on me. He wasn't going to come home and dump her, was he?
arguably, she deserved that now.
Arguably, she probably did. Okay, well, listen, look, if the magic's gone, get a magician. If the spark is gone, get an electrician. What a great song this next thing is. So let's hear a little bit of it. Thank you very much indeed, Rena. Fair play. This is Massive Attack.
Just because you're down, just cause you're blind.